Okay, Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Amen. Question. You have been saved. I assume everybody. How many here are not? How many here? Don't raise your hands. But how many here are not really sure where you're going when you die? Maybe you think it's presumption to think that you can know where you die, where you're going to go. How many of you know where you're going when you leave here tonight? You can raise your hands for that one. Is that presumption?
Yeah.
You're presuming that you know where you're going tonight? Or you're presuming that you'll get there?
Yeah, I'm assuming I'll get there.
But assuming that, you survive till tomorrow, okay, how many of you know where you're going? That's not presumption. Why is that not presumption?
I think it is.
you think it's presumption to, your parents won't let you? Okay, we've had enough.
I think my parents would take me home. I don't know, they could.
Presumption is not in knowing what it is that you are doing or where you are going. That's not presumption. Presumption is not believing that which has been given. It would be presumptuous for you to believe that when you get home tonight, your parents would not open the door. That would be presumption. Because it would be contrary to the hearts of your parents. And that is presumptuous. Now, how many of you know where you're going when you die? Okay, that is not presumptuous. You see, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, Jesus said, as many as call upon His name, to them He gives the power to become the sons or daughters of God. To say that when I die I will go home is not presumption. Having confidence and assurance in the Word of God is not presumption. What is presumption is to say that God would do something other than what He said He would do. That's presumptuous. Faith is not presumptuous. The lack of faith is. Trusting God is not presumptuous. Not trusting Him is. Knowing His heart towards you is not presumptuous. Not knowing His heart towards you is. These things are not presumption. If I know that I am going to go home tonight to my house, that is not presumptuous. Because God had said, that He will guide my path. And I know that my path belongs tonight in my house. That's not presumptuous. However, to say that I am going to heaven is also not presumptuous. There are groups that would say this is presumption because those groups do not rely on the Word of God as their source. They rely on a religious work, a religious effort, or maybe they rely on something, anything else, human reasoning. How can you say you are so good? They will ask you that you'll get there. And the answer is, of course, I'm not. And that's not what it's based on. It is based on the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ alone. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Paul called the Galatians foolish because they thought that after they had received their salvation freely, they had to do something in order to maintain it. Paul said that is foolishness. Paul spoke the Word of God when he said that, or wrote that actually. The Word of God says it is foolishness to think that God says it is one way and then to think I will do it another way. That is foolishness. Yet a lot of today's Christians do not believe the Word of God. They are living in presumption. That it is the height of presumption. And if you think about it in a way, and I don't mean to be unkind, but if you think about it in a way, it is the height of arrogance. To say, oh, the God who created the entire universe, whose word is given to us in the Bible, is going to lie to me. I am so great that I cannot trust it. I am so great that I can have thoughts contrary to that which is written in His word. That is arrogance. But that's not the topic of today's message. That's just something the Holy Spirit brought in. But in a way, it is related. Now, I have this question for you. You're saved, right? What do you do next? How do you become a Christian? How do you become a better Christian? Are you a Christian? How do you become a better one? Do you have a walk with God? How do you get a better walk? Like, how do you do that? What do you do? Anybody? Anybody want to take a stab at this?
You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Okay. Anybody else? What if you don't?
Then you will never grow as a Christian.
Okay. Anybody else? And what will be the result of that?
Well, the Bible says to meditate on God's word day and night, to never let it leave our lips, and to never stop thinking about it. So if we don't do that, then it becomes much harder to live in the Spirit. It becomes much harder, really impossible, to really follow what God says. If you don't know the law and the commands, you can't make His word a light unto your path.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the day. You don't.
And let me ask you this. What is the point of making His word a light unto your path?
So you know where you're going.
And what's the point in that?
I generally like to know where I'm going. So you can get
to the right place.
So you can get to the right place? Where are you going?
To heaven.
Is that the point?
I'm going to God. I'm getting closer to God. That is the ultimate point.
Okay. And so what do you do to get there?
Well, I read His word and I like my path to like the path that He gave us. It's like in John when Thomas says, "But Lord, how are we going to know how do we know the way to the Father if we don't know where you're going? How can we know the way?" And
okay.
Jesus said, "I am the way."
Okay.
We follow Jesus. We read His word, so we know that that if we follow that, we're going to come closer to God.
Okay. And what will you give Him when you get there?
What will I give Him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of the little drummer boy. I'll give Him me. I'll give Him everything I have, which is not really anything.
Okay.
But I'll give it to Him anyway.
Okay. Good.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay, we can go home now. In Psalm 116, in verse 12 and 13, the Word of God asked that, "What will I render unto the Lord for all that He has done for me?" And I like the response of the psalmist. I like it for what it says, but I like it even more for what it doesn't say. And although, Joel, not to pick on you, because what you said was good, but he didn't say those things. He didn't say, "I will, you know, read." He didn't say, "I'll do," and he didn't say, "I'll be a better Christian." See, in my mind, how do I become a better Christian? I don't. I don't become a better Christian. For two reasons. One, I am already a perfect Christian. I don't care what my failures are, and I don't care what my shortcomings or weaknesses are. I am already a perfect Christian because God has made me perfect. I am in Christ. You see, what did Jesus say when they said, good teacher? He said, why do you call me good? No man is good by God. So no matter what I do, be it a good thing like reading the Word of God, and please don't think I'm against that, I'm certainly not. But no matter what I do, I cannot become any better a Christian than I already am because I am in Christ. How do you beat that? How do you beat in Christ? What is better than in Christ? So what do you do? What shall I render God for all the things He has done for me? I will drink the cup of salvation. There is only one thing that I can do. I cannot give the one who had created everything anything. So I will receive from Him. See, I can't in fact even give Him my heart. See, He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. We think in this very egocentric way sometimes. We think we are the ones making decisions and calling the shots. We think we are the ones who are making good choices. No, we're not. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And although I have to respond to Him in positive volition in order to experience my position does not change. I am in Christ. Regardless of what I do, I am in Christ. Now, my experience may not match my position. I may not be expressing the image of Christ. But I still cannot become a better Christian, even if I am. Because the work is finished. The blood has been shed, and I have been cleansed. You see, He cleanses from all our sins and iniquities. Not just from some of them. He cleanses from all of them. So what do I do? I receive. How do I grow? I receive. You know, a lot in today's Christianity, you hear people talking to each other, and I hear this like all the time, and so do you. You know, Christians challenge each other, hey, get with the program. One way or another, that's what they're saying. Get with the program. Do better. You can, you know, be better. Be sensitive. Do better. You know why they say that? Because it makes it easier to get along with. That's why they really say that. It's not because God has told them to do better. How do you do better than in Christ? You don't. So how do you get your experience to match your position? You receive. And you receive some more. And you receive some more. What have you that you have not received? Oh no, you see, I had to produce this myself. I'm saved now, and so I got to get on the straight and narrow. And I have to be just so. And I have to make sure that I'm a good testimony and that people see Christ in me. I have to do that. Good luck. How many of you heard of that guy who got executed last week? How long has he been dead now? Like 5 days maybe? Let's go over there. Let's pull him up out of the ground. And let's put some makeup on him. Why not? It really is, isn't it? It really is. You know, we do that all the time. Instead of receiving, we say to ourselves, I'm going to pretty up the old man. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to make sure people can see Christ in me. No, you won't. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Anybody know the answer to that one? What do we do? What must we do that we may work the works of God?
Accept His Son.
Nope.
We can't do anything.
Believe on Him whom He has sent. Believe on Him whom He has sent. You see, why did I say no to Joe? And Joe, that was not, you know, a knock on you. But believe on Him whom He has sent. You see, I can believe that He is the Son of God. And I can accept that fact. There is only one problem with that. The devils, the demons, believe and tremble. The demons recognized who He was. And they told Him, and He told them, you be quiet. Don't you say a word. And they had to obey Him because He was indeed God. He had the authority. So they had to obey Him. But they recognized who He was. They had no problem with the fact that Christ was the Savior. They weren't challenging it. They weren't debating it. It was so. And they accepted the fact that He was the Savior. But they didn't believe. So what does it mean to believe? Oh, it's really pretty simple.
Can I just take one step back? I just happen to have already circled. You were talking about how do you begin to do that in Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. That kind of takes you back to that beginning step.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, after acceptance.
Okay. Good thought. Now, what does it mean to believe? Anybody? Very simple. This is a chair. Yes, it does answer it. Do you believe this chair will hold you up?
Yes.
Then sit in it.
Okay.
Okay. She believed the chair will hold you up, so she sat in it. If she did not believe the chair would hold her up, she probably would not sit in it. But she believed the chair would hold her up, so she would sit in it. Now, if I believe on Him, then I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid to respond to Him. I will not be afraid to trust Him. I will not be afraid to obey His word. I will not be afraid to reverence Him, because the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if I do not believe who He is, I do not believe His word, and I do not believe Him, then I will be afraid to trust Him, because I will not believe His nature and His character. I will not believe that indeed He does love me with an everlasting love. I won't believe that. And although I may respect Him and like Him, I won't trust Him. If I don't trust Him, I won't follow Him. You see, this goes back to the question I asked originally, like, is it presumption to believe that we are going to go to heaven when we die? No, certainly it is not presumption to believe we will go to heaven when we die. Why? Because I believe. You see, what would be presumptuous is for God to say, here, sit in this chair, I made it specifically for you, and for me to say, no, I'm not going to sit in that chair, God, because I know you made it for me, but I don't really trust you. I don't really believe you are who you said you are. And so I don't follow Him in faith, so that my walk with God, although I call it a walk with God, it is a walk that is stunted. It is a walk that is incomplete, because I don't really believe what He has said. You see, that's exactly what Satan did to Eve. God did not say this. She knew what He had said, but she also made a couple of mistakes. She added something to it. Because she said, oh, we are not to eat of it or touch it. God never said you can't touch it. That tree you just don't eat of. There's plenty of other things you don't touch. But that you don't eat of. You know what you don't touch? You don't touch that whisper in your ear that you think is your own thought, saying, how about this? that you don't touch. You don't touch that voice, not really an audible voice, but in the back of your mind that says, maybe not, maybe he will not, maybe he will not do what he said he would do. You don't touch that voice. It's not your voice. It's the voice of a demon. That is called a projection. See, demons have this way of whispering in our ears, saying, God did not say. And we respond in our natural man. And therefore, we will not follow him in faith. You see, why did I say no when Joel said read the word? Because if I don't believe God, if I don't believe that this is his word, if I don't trust that enough to make it my life, I won't read it. I won't hear messages. I won't listen to the word of God preached. I won't go for it. Why should I? I don't trust that it is what it is. You can always tell what a person believes, not by what they say, but the choices that they make. See, I heard plenty of people who say, oh, I love God and I love His Word, but they never go to church or never come to a Bible study or whatever. They'll say, I love you, but they don't fellowship with you. They're lying. People say, hey, let's get together sometime. Say, when? And then back off. They lied. Why? Because there is nothing real there. If I don't believe that this is real, I will not pursue it. But if I believe it is real, then I will make this my life. Because God had spoken. God had spoken. It wasn't, you know, some guy down the street. God has spoken. And what did he say? Well, it's all written right here. I think it's kind of curious that the very first thing God chose to say in the way that the Bible is arranged, and also one of the oldest books in the Bible, or not the very oldest, but the very oldest one addresses this also. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. See, God wants us to know exactly who He is and what He's all about. This, you know, the order of this book is no accident. There's nothing in this book that is an accident. It's not like something snuck in. There's nothing here that is an accident. In the beginning, God created. Now, do you trust me? Because if you can trust that first sentence, then you can trust the rest of the book. Why? Because God created. If you cannot trust that first sentence, I don't care what you tell me, you cannot trust this book and you don't trust this book. Because you don't believe that God created. If God didn't create, then who am I? If God didn't create, then who is He? See, if He didn't create, then He was not qualified to be my Savior. And if that first sentence is false, then the last one is also. And everything in between cannot be trusted. You can pretty it up all you like. And we do it all the time. But if we do not believe that first sentence, then I don't care what you say or what you do, you don't believe the book. But if you believe this, and it'll start with that first sentence, then you can trust Him. Because one, it's true He created. It's true that He loves you. It's true that He died for you. It's true that He rose from the dead. It's true that He ascended. It's true that He's coming back. It's true that His blood was shed for you. Then you can trust Him. It starts with that first sentence. You see, how can you be so powerful as to overcome death on a cross? Because He created. He created life. If He is the giver of life, and He is the lover of your soul, And if this is indeed true, that first sentence, in the beginning God created, then I can trust Him. And if I can trust Him, then I can walk with Him. But if I don't trust Him, I'm not going to walk with Him, and my interest won't be here. My interest will be somewhere else. And I can do all kinds of religious stuff, but my interest won't be in this book. My interest won't be in hearing the Word of God preached. Now, I talk a lot about hearing the Word of God preached. Do you know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that doesn't mean that reading and private meditation is of no value. It's of a lot of value, of a great deal of value. But it doesn't build faith. It builds content. People can have all kinds of content with no faith. You see them all the time. They can quote this book inside and out, but they don't believe it. People can quote the phone book. But you know what's funny? They believe the phone book. They don't believe this one. Is it true? I'm so totally tickled by the fact that God put creation at the very beginning. Not just because I like science, but because, boy, if you're going to have faith, you better have it there. And if you're not going to have it there, if you're not going to have faith, it'll show up there. Do you believe it? You see, it's all about receiving the Word of God, folks. It's all about receiving from Him through the Holy Spirit. So we tell each other, do this and do that. Be this and be that. Go here and go there and like make it good. Shape up. God never... Show me one place in the Bible where God says, you got to do better. Why don't you get with it? Yeah? Get with it. Do better. Be better. No. He said, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah. So let my righteousness go into your heart. What do I do in order to receive more from God? What shall I do what shall I give to the Lord? Or render God, that's what I'm thinking. What shall I render God for all the things He has done for me? I will drink the cup of salvation. What does that mean? What is the cup of salvation? Well, salvation is the Hebrew word for deliverance. It's the Greek word for deliverance also. It's translated to salvation. What is drinking the cup of deliverance? My word shall set you free. My word shall set you free. The cup of deliverance is receiving the Word of God. That's where deliverance comes from. And you know what's even funnier? It's not necessarily just reading the Word of God. I got to hear. Because faith comes by hearing. God made a really big issue out of that. So much so that where two or more are gathered in my name, and in His name being around His Word, He writes a book of remembrance of all that was said. Like this evening, the fellowship that will be had this evening is going to be written down in a book of remembrance. And for all of eternity, we'll be able to go to that book and read what was said. That is not going to go away. That is eternal. When I receive His Word, then its Word starts to change me. It is my deliverance. It shall set me free. What does it set me free from? My sin. My old sin nature. The worldly influences. There's people in this very room who've been completely transformed by His Word. If you looked at them not long ago and you look at them today, they are not the same person. They don't resemble themselves whatsoever who they used to be, because who they used to be is gone. If God could roll back time, albeit it doesn't exist, but if God could roll back time, you would not see who they were. Why? because they are a new creation. You see, we think of that only as a salvation verse, but it's not. Thy mercies are new every morning. Well, every morning there is a phrase for every beginning. The beginning of every moment, God's mercies are new. Why do you think David's going to be the prince of the millennium after the things he did? He was not a necessarily great guy, right? Very simple. He knew God's mercy. He knew that God's mercies were new every morning, and he received those mercies. And how is it that he managed to receive those mercies? Through the Word of God. David received God's mercy through his Word. Who is it that came to him when he had killed Uriah? It was Nathan, the prophet. The preacher came to him, and he heard the preacher's words. And when the preacher spoke, David was convicted, and he repented before God. He was transformed by the words. Folks, you don't do anything. You receive. If you try to do in your own natural effort, it will be just your own natural effort. It'll be the old man, let's go dig up the guy who was buried and put some makeup on him. But you know what's interesting? You said it was gross. To God, it's equally gross. When I try in my natural effort, in my old sin nature, to pretty things up and become nice and religious, so that I can look good, God says it's gross. He's not impressed. But if the Word comes in and transforms my heart, that's when I become conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God's looking for. Letting the Word come into your heart richly. Hearing it preached richly. Letting it build you in faith richly. And it does build you. It builds rooms in your soul. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah, when he talks about pastors, the word for pastor there is, he's not just a pastor, but that word is a picture of an architect who builds buildings. That pastor is building your soul. That's why you hear him. That's why we go to church. So that we can hear the Word of God preached richly. And the rooms in our soul are built. And I can get transformed. And I can have a resting place in my heart. Then I can fellowship with God. Not in my own effort, but in that which God produces in me. What shall I render God for all He has done for me? I'll drink the cup of salvation. That's all I can do, guys. That's all you can do. Closing thought. There was a man who thought he could bring something to God. And he worked very hard. And he produced a lot of things. And he brought them to God. And he thought his heart was pure because he wanted to do these things for God. And God rejected them. There was another man who brought him the blood of an animal sacrifice, and God accepted it. You see, when Cain was rejected, it was because Cain rejected what God had given to him. He would not receive. He said, I must produce, I cannot receive. Abel said, I cannot produce, all I can do is receive, and God accepted him. My natural efforts do not impress God. But His Son impresses Him. His blood impresses Him. And what He can produce in my heart will transform me so that I reflect His image. And that's when people can see Christ. It's not in my efforts or doing better. It's when I've received the cup of salvation. Amen?
Amen.